pod.gr.
You're listening to the Net Zero Podcast. A podcast that focuses not only on the critical issue of climate change, but also on the corporate response to deal with this defining crisis of our time. Net Zero Action is an innovative action of Mytilineos, which aims for zero carbon emissions until 2050. Mytilineos is the first of Greek and one of few international companies to redefine their strategy, taking into account climate change and the need for sustainable development. In this context, Mytilineos organized the digital summit Net Zero Action, where valuable ideas were exchanged. 21 distinguished individuals from the fields of science, academia, politics, and business participated. What does the term carbon footprint mean? How can corporations find the golden ratio between being profitable and environmentally conscious at the same time? These are some of the central questions with the climate crisis in the backdrop and Mytilineos company, which has a history starting at the beginning of the 20th century, making the following promises. To reduce emissions by 30% by 2030 compared to 2019, and to reach zero emissions by 2050. The Net Zero Action speakers focused on the changes that need to be made in order for industrial corporations to become friendly to the environment. They also discussed the industrial model of the future, which will have nature and society as its ally. The proposals that were heard from the three different conversation panels were interesting and practical. These panels were coordinated by journalists Ksenia Kounalaki and Athanasios Elis, and General Manager of Renewables and Storage Development Business Unit of Mytilineos, Nikos Papapetrou, in an effort to communicate all the interesting facts and views that were shared. We will present parts of all that was talked about at the Net Zero Summit. Dr. Faith Birol, Executive Director of the International Energy Agency.
This will be the first time that the world will have a roadmap to reach net zero by 2050 in a comprehensive way. Why do I think that this is a pivotal year this year? And I have a great optimism, in fact, from the 2021, despite all the COVID and pandemic. Number one, several countries around the world, EU countries, UK, Japan, Korea, Canada, soon, I guess, United States, they will have pledges to bring their emissions to net zero by 2050.
Francesco La Camera, Director General, International Renewable Energy Agency, IRENA.
IRENA's analysis show that to be Paris compliant, the EU will require annual energy transformation investment of around $325 billion until 2050. Every additional euro invested in the transition will result in a return of up to 10 euros. The region GDP will increase by 7.4% while creating 5.5 million additional jobs by 2050. This is why it's encouraging to see Greece increasing its ambition from 31% renewables to 35%, exactly in line with IRENA's recent analysis for the region.
Guy Tiran, Director General, Eurometo, Brussels.
The challenge is big, the ambition is big in Europe, and if you analyze the Green Deal, it will require massive shift towards metals-intensive technologies for batteries, electrical vehicles, renewable technology, hydrogen. Europe's climate goal for 2030 or 2050 will impose significant extra cost onto our sectors and other energy-intensive industries. We are asking the European authorities to reflect this in a strong industrial policy that adequately protects our companies from the risk of carbon leakage, so they can make new sustainable investments like those Mytilineos is targeting into this ambitious strategy.
Antti Valle, deputy to the head of unit of the Energy Intensive Industries and Raw Materials Unit, DG GROW, European Commission.
It is an important part of this effort. And the challenge is, of course, how to manage this transition to low emissions while keeping the industry competitive and also positioning our industry to exploit the huge potential global market for climate-neutral products and services and technologies.
Evangelos Venizelos, former Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Foreign Affairs, Professor of Constitutional Law.
Climate change for Greece requires the immediate adaptation of the tourist infrastructure and the tourism industry. The primary concerns is the seafront, the so-called coastal management, the protection of coastal buildings and structures. The political dimension of climate change is therefore extremely multi-level, critical and urgent. After all, climate change is changing our relationship with time, with nature and with history. I think that this point is crucial for the sense of time that our foreign policy should have on the Cyprus issue, on the Greek-Turkish relations, and especially on the delimitation of the maritime zones in the Aegean and the Western Mediterranean Sea.
Christos Zerefos, Climate Envoy for Greece, Secretary General, Academy of Athens, Independent Non-Executive Member, Board of Directors, Mytilineos.
Since we are talking about financial debt, let me say that even the pandemic, the cost of which is very high, is nothing compared to the cost that we will suffer due to climate change. So, doing away with carbon and reducing the carbon footprint on the environment was always the goal of large companies like Mytilineos, and has been proven because we see what they have invested heavily in renewables.
Ioannis Kaltsas, head of the European Investment Bank's EIB, investment team for Greece and Cyprus.
Together with the European Commission, we try to reach a goal of unlocking 1 trillion euro of investments by the year 2030. The first action is the fact that from end of last year, we do not finance anything anymore that it is not Paris aligned. So the 70 plus billion euros that the EIB is signing every year towards new projects, none of these projects you will find will be a non-Paris aligned project. This is quite important.
Andreas Papandreou, Professor of Environmental Economics, National and Kapodistrian University of Athens.
Climate change is for sure the greatest challenge of our times. It requires unprecedented social, technological transformation within a very short time frame. Past energy transitions took about 50 to 100 years and were mostly led by market forces, assisted by government policy. This time, public action and targets must drive the change in close partnership with the private sector.
Anna Diamandopoulou, former EU Commissioner and Greek Minister, President Dictio Network for Reform in Greece and Europe.
This climate change issue is a pandemic in slow motion. It is the main reason for inequalities between generations. And it is the first priority for brave and responsible politicians and entrepreneurs. I'm going to speak in both languages.
So, transformation. We use the term when talking about energy transition, and this is what it actually means. A change in production models. That means changes at the level of industry and companies, which need not only to set targets for climate change until 2030, but also targets in relation to the Paris Agreement for 2050, and at the same time engage in digital transformation. Emmanuel Kakaras, Senior Vice President, Mitsubishi Power Europe, Professor, National Technical University, Athens, Independent Non-Executive Member, Board of Directors, Mytilineos.
This is a great opportunity for Mytilineos, being both a global player and having production facilities in Greece, where the country's huge renewables potential is yet to be harvested. I am extremely happy to confirm that the good environmental practices and the ambitious sustainability goals that all members of board have brought with their individual experiences have been embraced by the executives. And they have been transposed into a growth strategy where zero emission is not an opportunity and not a threat.
Vasiliki Lazarakou, Chair of the Hellenic Capital Market Commission, HCMC.
The ESG framework should not be considered as the product of European technocrats or regulators, but as the response not only to climate emergency, but also to consumer demands for environmentally and socially responsible companies, as well as to investors for more transparency and reliability of the corporate strategy of companies. So the new ESG regulatory framework is about respect to consumers, respect to investors. It has been developed as a response to the need for a transition towards economies that would implement the environmental objectives, but also the social considerations for equity and cohesion, as well as the corporate governance ones.
Sokratis Lazaridis, CEO of Athens Exchange Group.
As market operator, ATHEX has started working on this direction since 2018, having the opportunity to have in his boardroom a member from Harvard Business School faculty, George Serafim, who is one of the apostles of ESG around the globe. We have initiated guidance for all Greek listed companies in order to report the ESG activities that they are having. This is the most important issue at this point of time.
Dimitris Papalexopoulos, Chairman of SEV, Hellenic Federation of Enterprises.
Greece and Greek industry can emerge greatly strengthened from the Green Deal, but it will not happen automatically. We have to earn it. So let me start with the overall European perspective. At the Federation at SEV, we support the Commission's ambition to make Europe the world's first climate-neutral continent by 2050. Not only because it's the right thing to do, but because if we get this right, it represents an opportunity to make Europe more sustainable and more prosperous at the same time.
Alexandros Doukou, Secretary General for Energy and Mineral Resources at Ministry of Environment and Energy.
This transition, apart from being a necessity, it is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for Greece to attract investment in new technologies, to kickstart our economy after 10 years of financial crisis and also after the effects of the pandemic. And it's an opportunity for Greece, why, to attract foreign investments and grow our economy, to make a great leap, I would say, towards a greener but also more prosperous future. And it is obviously an opportunity for investors to create value by investing in this very fast-growing sector in a stable investment environment. We all have to commit ourselves to achieve the new UN Sustainable Development Goals. Now, this post-COVID world will be obviously a new world. And in this new world, we'll still continue to have worries and concerns and more threatening. And amongst these concerns is, of course, the global environmental crisis. So our job today is to take decisive action to address it.
Maria Spiraki, member of the European Parliament.
So we have to act, and we have to act immediately. And in this regard, I think that Greece has the privilege to act immediately by starting by transforming our country into a renewable hub. By saying this, I would like to say as a politician that our first priority should be and must be to provide, first of all, predictability and also certainty to the investors. I think that it is the number one priority we have.
Adam Bruce, Global Head of Corporate Affairs, Mainstream Renewable Power.
We're in the middle of a fourth industrial revolution, and I think taken together, they present huge opportunities for companies and for investors. And the energy transition, driven by a global recognition of the risks associated with climate change, is opening new markets to new technologies almost daily. And the fourth industrial revolution, driven by big data and machine learning, is opening new routes for value creation, not just in the energy sector, but it is in our sector that we can see some of its most direct impacts.
Marisa Korda, EVP, Global Head of Legal and Compliance of Sonadix.
When you look at the Paris Agreement and achieving those targets, there are two really fundamental things that everyone is thinking about, right? Which is making the clean energy more accessible for global populations, but also accelerating our sustainability efforts. And with that comes some really commercial opportunities. I think, you know, there's a growing demand for consumers and investors for sustainable products and services. Being part of the transition, there's an opportunity when you take this additional step towards sustainability and sustainable goals to increase shareholder value. I think we talk about sustainability becoming an important factor in business strategies, and it's now really gone beyond being just a mere compliance check. It's something that's involved into a key aspect in fostering business longevity and long-term success.
Patrick Druot, Equity Research Analyst and Portfolio Manager, Fidelity Management and Research Company, FMR.
What I would say is that we look at things through time, and I think, you know, the trajectory is just as important as where a company is today, you know, that they make strides in these areas. And so we encourage companies to think about it in their own way and ask themselves, you know, what's important to our business and how can we apply this? And the environment, companies to demonstrate progress and a willingness to improve over time and show things that we can measure, that's something we really appreciate.
Ismael Guerrero, Chairman of Energy Sector Corporate, Vice President, President of the Energy Group, Canadian Solar.
To me, the most important thing that company needs to understand is why this energy transition is happening. This is not happening because we are suddenly more environmental sensible. This is happening because technology evolved so much that now is the cheapest way to produce electricity. This is going to be affecting not only energy, because energy affects almost all the industries out there. So it's going to be affecting every single sector where everything that is subject to be done using electricity is going to be done using electricity. Because electricity is going to be ultimately, I wouldn't say for free, but extremely cheap.
Ben West, Head of New Energy Fund, Managing Director and Head of the New Energy Division at Gresham House.
I and the company I work for, Gresham House, are completely bought into the information and data that we see, which will lead to significant sea level rises and increases in temperatures, pretty much whatever happens. But it is important that we must follow this agenda nonetheless to save our environment. And to, even if we have to travel through some difficult times, we have to address the problems that we see. And what we are doing at Gresham House is investing in areas that benefit from this transition. There is an enormous opportunity to benefit from this, as well as creating a common good in the form of lower cost of power, potentially geopolitical improvements, lower externalities for health, potentially taxes, and so on and so forth. These are genuinely good solutions, irrespective of the climate agenda. The transitioning is happening quickly, and the world generally is aiming for 2050, and that will lead to enormous growth.
Valerie Smith, Chief Sustainability Officer, Citigroup.
I think I see the clear rationale for connection to ESG and risk and how that is something that investors and banks really focus on. I think we are going to see also the clearer rationale and metrics and data to back up our anecdotal evidence that ESG is also going to prove to be a pretty compelling growth opportunity for investors. And I know for banks, we are really looking at both how we represent our own performance in this area to our investors, but also what we are requiring of our clients in terms of demonstrating to us that they are managing down their ESG risk, managing up sort of their, you know, positive ESG growth story.
This was the Net Zero podcast by Mytilineos, the first Greek company that sets clear targets and is committed to minimizing its carbon footprint. I am your hostess, Erato Zuroufidou. Producer, Yula Rapti. Sound editing, Yorgos Vavanos. Follow us and download all episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also stream this and future episodes on www.mytilineos.gr. Pod.gr. Sounds good.